Hello, and welcome to Anaphylaxis UK's Let's Talk About Allergies podcast, where we provide expert answers to common questions about allergies and anaphylaxis. Our goal is to offer valuable insights on how we can all work together to make life easier and safer for those living with allergies.
Welcome back to Let's Talk About Allergies. In today's episode, we're discussing a topic that's very important as the Christmas season approaches. How do we navigate Christmas events at school when a child has allergies? The holidays are full of celebrations, food, and fun, but for families with children who have allergies, it can also bring some extra challenges and concerns. How do we make sure every child feels safe, included, and able to enjoy the festivities without worry? To help us with this, we're thrilled to have a very special guest here today, Tracy Dunn, our Education and AllergyWise Manager. Tracy is a retired head teacher with over 16 years of experience leading allergy-aware schools, and is a mother of two teenagers with allergies herself. She truly understands the balancing act of keeping kids safe while helping them enjoy all the joys of the Christmas season.
Hi, Tracy. It's great to have you here today. So today we're talking all about Christmas at school. And after 30 years in the education sector and after being a head teacher, I'm sure you have a whole wealth of knowledge on this area. So to kick things off, I'd like to ask, why do festive celebrations at school cause so much anxiety and worry for parents or carers of children with allergies?
Thanks, Mary. It's a really good question to ask. Lots of our celebrations and festivals involve food and drink. And for most children with allergies, they are anxious around situations where their allergens are present. There is always a lot of excitement at these times, which also lends itself to more spontaneity in the things that happen. The plans don't necessarily follow as you would expect them to follow. And so the risks around managing food increase. Hygiene decreases. Children are too eager to wash their hands properly. And so they'll rush back to what activity they were doing so that they don't miss out. Mm-hmm. And it's because of that food and drink, because of that spontaneity, that the anxiety increases.
And so what types of festive activities might cause worry or pose a danger for these children, for people who might have never had to think about it before, but actually for a parent who has a child with allergies, what are these some of these activities that they might get concerned about?
Schools, typically primary schools and early years settings, will be making crafts and they will be having parties with food. They'll be having celebration events with food. And unless you've actually gone through a Christmas or a festival celebration with a child who has allergies, you don't necessarily stop to think. So, for example, if you were making some Christmas crackers or Christmas crowns out of cereal packets that have been brought in from home, then there is a risk for children who are allergic to some of the ingredients that that breakfast cereal is made out of. You know, there are breakfast cereals that contain nuts. And so having, for example, packaging from a crunchy nut cornflake packet in school to make a crown out of, it could still have traces of peanut allergen on there, which then poses that cross-contamination risk and risk of reaction.
So if I was a teacher at school, how could I plan an inclusive event for children that might have allergies in my class?
So it's about following some very clear steps. First of all, it is about trying not to do things at the last minute. Christmases, festivals are a time where plans change quite rapidly. But if you are thinking now and you're thinking forward to actually those activities that you're going to do at the end of term, it's time to start planning them. And then once you've planned them, you need to risk assess them. Are there going to be any food allergens or non-food allergens such as balloons going to be used in these activities? Balloons that are made from latex carry a problem for those children who have latex allergies. So if you are planning activities that involve non-food allergens, such as balloons, which can be made from latex, latex can be an allergen for people. And so it's important when you have done your risk assessment that you are identifying the foods, the non-food allergens that you may be needing. And then at that point, you need to speak to the parents and carers of the child, because they will be risk assessing everything their child does continually in order to keep their child safe. They will be able to support you with where you need to go to buy products and foods that are safe for their child. So once you've communicated with the parent, you need to adapt your risk assessment if necessary. And then when you go shopping for your products, you need to be reading labels on food. You mm-hmm. need to be aware, particularly around a multi-pack items, because if the multi-pack is labelled on the outside, it might not be labelled on the inside. Mm. And so when you open a multi-pack, you need to keep that outer packaging in order to be able to mm-hmm. refer back to those allergens afterwards. So sure. once you have you've done your shopping and it's time for the event to happen, you just need to make a final check. And if you're uncertain along the way, just proactively speak to the parent and carers, because they will be delighted that you are taking care and time and attention in order to keep their child safe.
So for each, you talk about risk assessment. So for each of these end of school activities, should an individual risk assessment be carried out? So, for example, if one class is going to do a Secret Santa, should a risk assessment be carried out by the teacher before they send out the instructions or they notify the class of the Secret Santa?
Absolutely. Each activity should be risk assessed. Now, it may be that you just have one big Christmas risk assessment or festival risk assessment, and you can break down the different activities in there. But each of those activities do need to be risk assessed in order to make sure that they're safe. And that's probably something that teachers haven't necessarily thought about until this point. But it is a really key way in order to help you think through what those risks and challenges will be and find ways to overcome them.
So with the risk assessment, could they just use our risk assessment template that's on our website for the individual activities?
So I've actually just written, and it will be released in the next week or so, a brand new risk assessment just for events, activities and festivals, which will guide people through actually this process. And they'll be able to either take one section or the whole thing and use it and add to it as necessary.
Amazing. So if you have a child in your class that has an allergy, let's say an egg allergy, I'm just wondering, from a parent's perspective, would you be safer not making your own food and just bringing in food? Say you're having a class party, so there's snacks being brought in, but you've been told by the teacher that one of the children has a serious egg allergy. So would that say, you know, we need to bring in foods that are pre-packed and pre-made versus making our own cakes? And should we at that point be avoiding bringing in any cakes, homemade cakes with egg in them, into the classroom?
It's all about making sure that we've got the right information available at that time. So we don't need to prevent homemade cakes, but what we do need to know is what ingredients have been used in order to make them. And so by asking for parents and carers to provide that full ingredient list, and that will help everybody, it will help the staff to identify what might be a risk for the child. It, depending on the age of the child, it will help the child identify what's a risk for them. So we don't need to exclude homemade food, but having the right information is crucial.
And just wondering on your own experience, because I know you have children with serious allergies, when you were sending your children to school and they had a party at school in the classroom and people were bringing in cakes, and let's say a parent made something and they purposefully left out peanut if your son had a peanut allergy. In your personal opinion, I'm just wondering, would your child always avoid that food anyway because you just couldn't be 100% certain? So if that was your you sending your child into the party, you'd probably provide them with some of their own snacks and safe treats.
Yeah, I typically always used to send in some cake that I knew would be safe for my son to eat. But it would very much depend on whether we knew who had made it, because typically in a class, you know, the other parents.
Sure.
And I had very good friends who knew that about my son's allergy, and they would make sure that their kitchens didn't have any traces of peanut before they baked. And so we knew, and he knew, if he knew where the cake was coming from, that he would be able to choose that as well. But often he would, particularly as he got older, he would just choose things that were pre-packed so that he could be certain.
Sure.
And that it's a very individual response.
I guess it depends on the severity of the allergy and what your allergy consultant has advised in terms of traces. And so, yeah, and that makes sense. So it's about communication and risk assessment and deciding, I guess, at the end of the day, it's up to the parent what they feel comfortable with their child. So for those parents who are looking to buy some Christmas treats for their child that has allergies, or for another parent who wants to provide something that is allergy safe for the other classmates, is there a database or a resource online somewhere that could help schools identify safe food options that they could provide? So teachers as well, that would be if they're putting on a party or an event for the children.
That's a really good question, Mary, and sadly there isn't. And so parents are the best database that there are. So if you were to ask a parent or carer where they shopped and what products they bought and what pack sizes they bought, they would probably be able to reel off two or three examples of places that you could go. I know that that's certainly where I am as a parent of a child with an allergy, and I know which brands that I would say avoid, there's just no point looking, and which brands that you would be able to go and are, because they're brands that we buy. There are some shops, some supermarkets that we just can't shop in, simply because of the way their products are manufactured. And even when I do shop, we have to check the labels each time, because if the recipe changes or the line changes, then that allergen information will change. Sometimes you might see that they've flagged it with this has got a new recipe, but you can't rely on that. And I think one thing that listeners need to know is that the top 14 food allergens have to be emphasized on a packet. So if you do have a child with an egg allergy or a milk allergy or a peanut allergy, then you can be guaranteed to look at that allergy information on the packet. And often they're in bold, but they don't always have to be in bold. They just have to be emphasized. They have to stand out. And it makes that easier to see. The person looking always needs to look to see if there is something called a may contain also on the label, because manufacturers will sometimes let you know if a product has a chance of having an allergen in it. And so it's important to check that too.
I'm just thinking on a practical level, I'm trying to imagine what it used to be like being at school and, you know, the kind of buffet style treats that might be out. If you had a teacher who is planning an event, and you know people are going to bring things in, and there is going to be a spread of treats and foods, maybe some homemade stuff. If you have someone with allergies in your class, how does that work? Is it best to just avoid a food activity in that case? I'm just imagining if someone had a nut allergy and someone was bringing in treats with maybe nuts on it, and it was on the same table as some other things, or would you have a separate area for the child's food? Or, you know, is it all about washing hands and making sure you're taking the right precautions? I know it depends on the situation, but do you have any advice there, just for perhaps for teachers who are thinking, should I just point blank avoid doing food in my class?
No, you don't have to avoid doing food in your class, but you just need to put some safeguards in place. So we need to make sure that hands are clean and they're washed with hot soapy water. Antibac doesn't remove the proteins, which are the allergens, and so they could still spread. So we want to have our hands washed in hot soapy water. It would make sense to have food that the child is allergic to, if it can't be eliminated, in a particular area. But we need to be remembering, we really need to make sure this child is included. So it's not to put them separate, because that would make you feel awful, wouldn't it? If everybody else is sat around a table having a lovely time and you've got to sit by yourself, you're not going to be having a lovely time. So we really need to be making sure that when we think that we're including, we really are including. Sometimes if, say, we talk about egg and we know we've got cake with egg in it, then we would perhaps have that at the opposite end of the table, and hands would be washed before and hands would be washed afterwards to make sure that we haven't got those traces of protein being spread around the classroom by accident, and making sure things are labelled. Mm-hmm. Because if we know what the allergens are, half the battle is won. The other thing that we need to do as well is make sure that all the helpers are aware that there is a child with allergies in the class and who it is. Not so that they can be pointed out or hovered over, but just so that the adults are really aware of the interactions between all of the children. And should the worst thing happen, that a reaction starts, it can be acted on really, really quickly. Mm-hmm.
What are some examples, if someone did want to do an allergy-friendly festive activity or a food-free festive activity? Do you have any experience of some of those that you had at school?
Yeah, we moved to having our Christmas parties actually without food, because we found that in the afternoon they just had lunch, there was just a huge amount of food waste, and the children had as much enjoyment from making crafts and playing party games as they did from having another really big feast. Mm-hmm. So we did stop, and that was discussed with all of the teachers, and we felt that was entirely appropriate. We then also replaced past the parcel sweets with forfeits, which the children really enjoyed, and actually forfeits became a thing, and we took sweets out of any of the prizes to make sure that they were inclusive for everybody. Mm-hmm. And the forfeits became a really strong factor, which the children were desperate in order to be able to get their forfeit. And that added to the humour. So it's really easy to eliminate food from activities without it costing a lot of money.
And did you find that you got much pushback from any parents of children without allergies who said, well, my child is, it's Christmas time and they want to have some chocolate? Or
no, we didn't. We didn't have any pushback at all. And I think it's important to actually think about how you're communicating these things. If you communicate it in a way that you are pointing the finger at the children with allergies, then you are more likely to get the pushback. Whereas we communicated it and we said that actually we're finding that we're getting a huge amount of food waste. And so we are going to eliminate the party food. And after the first year, everybody's just used to it. They don't expect it anymore. When the children have had a really lovely time, we didn't communicate the fact that we were taking sweets out of the wrappers, you know, the past the parcel wrappers and things like that, because it wasn't necessary. We weren't pointing anything at children with allergies. And I think it's crucial that they are not scapegoated, because we wouldn't do that for any other medical condition or physical ability or disability. We just wouldn't do that. So why would we do it if for allergies?
So how can school collaborate better with parents to alleviate some of that worry and make sure they feel that their child has a safe and inclusive experience at school during the festive period?
It's really simple: proactive, open and honest communication.
And is there anything that school can do to encourage those children to advocate for themselves and to make them feel included?
I think there's two things that schools can do which are really important. The first thing is for the child with the allergies is to encourage them, if they're offered food, to always say to whichever adult it is this safe for me? That phrase will make the adult think, why is this child asking me that question? And we'll say, why are you asking me that? And then you've got your conversation and the adult understands that there is a risk there. So that's the first thing, and that's all that child needs to be empowered to do is to ask, is this safe for me? The other thing is to make sure that teaching about allergies is firmly in place in the curriculum. And that teaching about allergies can come through assemblies, of which we have them on our website that can be downloaded. Or it can be that I come into a school and I lead an assembly for the school. Also, our AllergyWise courses have lesson plans written by me when I was a volunteer, tried and tested by the teachers in my schools. And they help the children learn about allergies. And the more that children understand about allergies, the better they are at accommodating and being kind and inclusive themselves. They will advocate for one another. There's no better advocate than another child, whether or not they are your friend or not.
So how should schools address teasing or bullying that might arise around allergies, especially during a high time, a high energy time like Christmas, where, you know, there's lots of activities and excitement and food going round?
The key thing is the work that we've just talked about in teaching children about allergies, because when children understand what's going on, they are so much more empathetic towards one another. It really is important for children, all children, to understand that children with allergies don't want to be different. They want to be exactly the same as everybody else. And it's the messaging that schools do around kindness that they do day in, day out. And if schools find that unkindness around allergies has occurred, they need to act swiftly on it and make sure that they are applying their behaviour and anti-bullying policies effectively, because it is really important that schools don't tolerate any unkindness, any bullying towards children who have allergies in exactly the same way that they wouldn't tolerate it if it was a physical disability.
So in your experience, if a class and a school has been taught about allergies and what to do in an emergency and what they are, do you find that the children are much more understanding towards their friends, their peers who might have allergies?
Absolutely. I found that the children were constantly advocating for one another and actually telling the staff, particularly cover staff, that there were children with allergies or they couldn't do this, or they knew, they understood, and they just accept it in the same way that they accept other medical conditions and other illnesses.
And what specific training should school staff have then to safely manage allergies during Christmas celebrations and, of course, all year round?
Yeah, and I think it's the all year round bit. If you've got your training for all year round, then you've got everything you need in order to manage Christmas and other festivals safely. So you need to have training that is medically backed and produced. It's really important that it covers things like the signs and symptoms of allergy, anaphylaxis, and how to use an adrenaline auto-injector. The brand names are Jets and EpiPen. It's really important that the training includes whole school awareness. And without it being a whole school awareness, the training will not be as effective. And if the training just focuses on emergency response, it's not sufficient. So we're really fortunate at Anaphylaxis UK. We have training courses for each of the different education sectors that covers all of that, is written by experts. And you can be assured of the clinical knowledge that has gone into that, and the education knowledge that's gone into it, because it's being clinicians and teaching staff who have written it. So it really works for schools because it's been written by the people who understand both things.
So that can make that, if you have that sort of training in place, then you can be sure that, you know, if the worst come to worst and someone did have an allergic reaction, that you are well prepared, you know, in that case that did happen, so that you could deal with the situation quickly and easily.
Yes, very much so. And I'd also recommend schools at this time of the year thinking about just recapping bits in a briefing or a staff meeting, reminding staff about which children do have allergies, running through their allergy action plans. Hopefully the schools have got trainer adrenaline auto-injectors, having a go with the trainer adrenaline auto-injectors, and then actually considering some of the activities that might be going on, the different scenarios, and practice an emergency response so that should it happen, everybody is prepared. It's something that's fresh in memory rather than it being something that we did last year. And that just will give everybody the confidence in order to manage the season safely.
So if I was a parent who had a child with allergies, and I know Christmas is coming up, I know events are going to start taking place, what is something that I could do to alleviate my fear? Of course, you're always going to have worry, but what is a step I could take to try and improve the process?
So I would encourage parents to see the teachers and to talk to them about the sorts of events and activities that might be planned and how they can support, because obviously the parent has that wealth of information, is undertaking risk assessments all of the time, and teacher and parent together make a really strong team in order to support the children with allergies.
So I assume then what you would suggest for the teachers, if the teachers are a little bit worried about making sure events are inclusive to any students with allergies, that they should actively seek out the parents and just have a chat with them to ask them for their advice, because obviously they are the experts. They've got children with allergies that they live with every day. So should they reach out to the parents and say, you know, do you have a certain brand of snack that I could use, or are you happy with this? Are you happy with that?
100%. That is the way the relationship should work, and it will make it so much easier for everybody. For the teacher, they won't have a parent who's really anxious checking with them every 2 minutes, and so it will give them back their time in order to focus on the things that they want to focus on. And for the parent, it will give them the reassurance that the allergies are being taken seriously and that they are being listened to, as you rightly said, the expert, because the parent in this instance of managing the allergy really is the expert.
And I'm just thinking from the child's perspective here, that we understand that some children might have their own worries or their own anxiety of having school events, with food involved, or even if it's not food, if it's another type of allergy. As a parent, what advice or how could you approach your child to help them feel better about what's going to happen, and to comfort them to know that it will be okay, and we've put things in place to make sure that you're going to be safe? I know you have your own children with allergies. Do you have any advice there from a teacher and a parent perspective?
To include them in the conversations as soon as they're old enough. You know, you've done the donkey work with the teacher, and then at the end of all of that, involve the child in a conversation to say that we've been chatting, and these are the sorts of things that we're going to be doing, and this is how we're going to keep you safe. And I think, and I know, showing that united front gives the child confidence in order to navigate the situation for themselves, and empowers them to ask the questions mm-hmm. that they need to ask.
And I assume as well, just that if they have worries, if they have concerns at school, or they, you know, want to double check that they can have something, that they are open and just ask their teacher, and that, you know, that can make them feel better to know that the teacher is aware as well, and the teacher will understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the key part of that meeting that you have with the child, is then the child knows that they can ask those questions to their teacher or another adult in their class or in their school, and that they will be listened to and taken seriously.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Tracy. That's been great. I just want to finish with one last question on what is one piece of advice you would give to schools and parents for navigating Christmas safely and joyfully?
It really is support one another, have proactive communication, and work together as a team.
Thanks so much, Tracy. It's been great to have you.
Thank you, Mary. It's been lovely.
We hope you enjoyed tuning in to today's podcast on this very important topic. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, you can subscribe to our podcast on your favourite podcast app, including Spotify and Apple Music. Finally, be sure to follow us on social media at AnaphylaxisUK to join in the conversation, and let us know if there are any questions you would like us to answer next time.